Luke chapter 14, or excuse me, 17, verses 14 through 18. Luke chapter 17, verses 14 through 18. And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?"
Here we are. The beginning of the holiday season is upon us. But you know, this past week, I haven't heard anything mentioned about Thanksgiving, but I've certainly heard a lot mentioned about Black Friday. That seems... We thought Christmas had overtaken Thanksgiving. Now I think it's Black Friday that seems to have done that. I am thankful for at least one day of the year when our nation is reminded that we need to be thankful, because we're not always thankful. A young boy was about to go to his first birthday party. And his mom said, "Listen, I want you to remember this. After the party's over, I want you to go up to the mom of this little girl and tell her thank you for inviting you to the party." So when mom came back to pick up the little boy, the first thing she asked him was, "Did you remember to say thanks?" And the little boy said, "Well, I was gonna." And she said, "What do you mean you were going to?" "Well, the little boy that was in front of me in line said to the mom, 'Thank you for inviting me to the party.' And she said, 'I'll forget about it.' And he said, 'So I did.'" Sometimes that's us, though. Sometimes we simply forget about saying thanks for all the blessings that God gives us. You see, thanksgiving to the Christian is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for the many blessings that He's given us, whether they be physical, whether they be material, but more importantly, spiritual blessings. And as we continue to grow and mature in Christ, this spirit of thanksgiving, this heart of thanksgiving that we have, causes us then to be transformed into a more joyful, a more thankful soul. And I don't think there's any one of us, me certainly included, that doesn't want to be a more thankful person. You want to know what to be thankful for? Just turn around and look at the person next to you, or the person in front of you, or the person behind you. We are so blessed simply by people, by relationships that God has brought into our lives to help us remember how much He loves us. And as His people, we need to make a conservative effort every single day to be more thankful. In fact, the Bible talks a lot about how He wants His people to be thankful. Psalms 92, beginning in verse 1, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name," which we did in our songs this morning. David, I appreciate those that you picked out. "O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Day and night, the verses say, we are to praise and to thank God. Not just when we're here, not just when we think about it, but all the time. Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 that our lives are to abound in thanksgiving. We should be so thankful that it just overflows in us, that it's out there for everyone to see that we are thankful people. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says that we are to be devoted to giving thanks. That should be part of our character. That should be part of our life, to be thankful people. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says we're to do everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Psalms 116 says our life should be a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. You ever think of your life as being an offering to God? But it is. Because our life belongs to Him. He created us. And as we live our life, we are living it in thankfulness to Him for not only creating us, but creating us in such a way that we're not stuck here our entire life. That He's got something much better planned for us. And we're to be thankful for that. Especially. The book of Hebrews said that we are to serve the Lord with thanksgiving. But the truth of the matter is, God's people aren't always thankful people. We're not always thankful people. We are much better at grumbling and complaining. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, the traffic going down 8th Street. We don't know what traffic is here in Lompoc, do we? But we find a reason to grumble and complain. It can be the smallest thing. And despite all the blessings we have, sometimes we just forget to be thankful. Like the passage that David read about the lepers, the 10 lepers. We've heard that story many, 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 many times, over and over and over again. But do we ever apply it to our lives? Granted, we don't have leprosy. But we may have a disease that's far worse than that. And that is the disease of ingratitude. Because that's fatal. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 17. And as the lepers went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And then we see Jesus' emotional response to the ingratitude of the 9 when he says, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan?" And we remember how the Jews viewed the Samaritan people. Someone once said that so often, once a man has got what he wants, he never comes back. Once a man has gotten what he wants, he never comes back. You know people like that? Do you have friends like that? Do you have children like that? You hear from them when they want something, and once they get it, you don't hear from them again. And sometimes they even forget to thank you for what you gave them. So what happens next time they call and want something from you? What comes to your mind? Oh, I know this guy. I know what he does. I know what he wants. Fortunately now we have caller ID. That's like one of the greatest inventions in the world. You look at him, oh, this guy. Right? God's got caller ID, but He never does this. He's much more patient and loving to us than we are to others. And we need to be thankful for that. Because we don't always go back to Him and say, "Thank you, God, for what you just did for me." Even though at times it's very obvious that whatever blessing we've received can only come from one source. There's only one person that knew that I really needed this. And that's God. And He gave it to me. And I need to be thankful to Him for that. You know, we are rich people. Charles Barkley a former NBA All-Star, and somebody that you see on TNT if you watch much basketball, he very controversial figure. He is one of a kind. And he told a story one time about his mother, really got all over him, because in a presidential election, he voted for George Bush. And his mom said to him, Charles, don't you know that George Bush is a president for rich people? To which Charles said, Mama, don't you realize we are rich people? We are rich people because we're God's people. And sometimes I don't think we realize how rich we are. I mean, look at your life. How many of you had to walk here because you had no transportation? You know, we live in such an abundant life world. We travel by airplane. We drive nice cars. We live in air-conditioned homes. We have TVs. We have computers. We have cell phones. There isn't anything that we lack. We worship in a building, not in a hut. Our Thanksgiving meal is so full of the richest foods that many in our world would never dream that they could possibly eat a meal like we're about to eat on Thursday. But yet, how thankful are we? So I want us to think this morning as we quickly go through this. Some of the causes for ungrateful hearts. Now, I've come up with four. Actually, I came up with a lot more than that. But as I mentioned last week, the Niners play at 1 o'clock, and I don't want to keep you too long. But you can add to the list, and I could certainly add to the list. But what I want us to do, because I did this as I prepared this lesson, is I want us to make the application of each one of these four to our lives and ask ourselves, do I have this problem? Is this particular point causing me to be ungrateful? So the first thing is, we can be ungrateful because of the affluence, the wealth that we have in our lives. You think that the blessings that we have would make us more thankful, but sometimes we just forget about them. But here's the difficulty. It's very hard to be grateful when we cannot learn how to be happy with what we have. Think about that. How in the world can we possibly be grateful if we can't even be happy with what God has given us? See, one of the problems of having so much is that one of the byproducts of having so much is the fact that you have the continual burning desire to get more. That's not my car, is it? It's the burning desire to get more. So we constantly want. We want, we want, we want. So we become ungrateful because of the wealth of all the blessings that we do have. But secondly, we are ungrateful because of our pride. Psalms 10 and verse 4, in his pride the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts there is no room for him. And in our pride we've forgotten that every good gift is coming from where? It's from above. Coming down from the Father of lights. We let our pride get in the way. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, I couldn't have done it without me. I couldn't have done it without me. Again, that's self-centered pride. And in our pride, we don't even thank God because we're too busy patting ourselves on the back. Remember Dave Swain's favorite verse? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We can become ungrateful because we think that it's all about us, when in fact it's not about us at all. And we're ungrateful because of companions. You know, we know, and we've seen the passage that reads, bad company corrupts good character in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we know that. But we look at that verse and we think of it more in terms of our own children. We want to make sure that we understand who our kids' friends are. And if our kids are going to be playing with friends at a house, we want them in our house, at our yard, because we want to see what they're doing. We want to see who their friends are. We want to see... we want to see whose car is setting off the alarm in the parking lot is what we want to see. Oh. See, we have a falsely accused guy right here with Glenn. It was not Glenn's car. It was Brenda's fault. Satan is active. Okay. You know, ingratitude and grumbling. Excuse us for just a minute, folks. We got some important things to do out in the parking lot. I'm not grumbling or complaining, by the way. I want you to know. But you know, that kind of attitude, that ungratefulness, the grumbling and complaining is addictive. It's just as addictive as a narcotic because you don't even know you're doing it. You don't even know you need it. It just becomes part of your character. And the complaining and the grumbling is not left outside. It can even come into the church. Oh, I hope they don't sing too many new songs today. I don't like those new songs. Or it's cold in this building. Don't they ever turn on the heat? Or my favorite is, somebody's sitting in my seat. That's certainly not up front, as you can tell. Or there goes that preacher. He's talking too long again today. We're not going to be able to get our seat at the hometown buffet for lunch if he keeps going like this. But my point is, it becomes part of us and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. It's an addiction. It's a bad habit. But even more than that, grumbling and complaining is a sin. It affects who we are. And it affects how we influence other people. So sometimes we are ungrateful because of our complaining. And we get our complaining from our companions. It rubs off on us and we don't even know it. And the fourth one I was thinking about, we're ungrateful because of circumstances. It's hard to rejoice when things aren't going well, isn't it? When life isn't exactly how you planned it to be. It's not turning out the way I thought it would be. When the bills are piling up. When there are layoffs at work. When your health is deteriorating. And you're not able to do all the things you plan to do at your age. It's hard to be thankful sometimes when those things are facing us. it causes us to complain. You know, in Exodus chapter 14, when it's talking about the Israelites and the Red Sea, in verse 10, it said, "The Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They said to Moses, 'Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out?'" I mean, they were so concerned already. They hadn't even seen the full miracles of God, but yet they were complaining about it before it ever reached them. In all these things, we need to remember that God is over all, that God is all powerful, and that He is there with us every step of the way. So if these are some of the causes for an ungrateful heart, how do I develop a thankful heart? What is it that I can do in my life to develop a thankful heart? Well, the first thing I think we need to do is remember how much gratitude pleases God. God likes for us to be thankful. God wants us to be thankful. Gratitude makes God happy. If you have your Bibles in front of you, turn over to Chronicles chapter 5. We're going to go over the Old Testament for just a minute. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. "They raised their voices, the Israelites, in praise to the Lord and saying, 'He is good, His love endures forever.' Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." The glory of the Lord filled the temple of God because of the praising of the people toward God. You think that happens here? Do you think that as we sing praises to God, that He's pleased? But even more than that, it's not just us collectively. What about us individually? What about me? Can I sit down there and sing but not praise God? Again, David talked about application of the songs that are in that we're singing to our lives. Is it really expressing the joy I have for God when I sing these? Or are they simply words in a book? What do they mean to me? Am I truly praising God with the voice He gave me from our heart? Gratitude pleases the Lord. Second thing we can do is avoid complaining at all costs. God hates complaining and grumbling. And when we start to do that, catch ourselves right away. You've got to stop it. And if you're married or around someone at work or around someone here and you start to grumble or complain, please ask them to stop you doing that. We don't want any of that. More importantly, God doesn't want any of that. Not only here with His people, but in our lives as well. And that's really critical in a husband-wife relationship, that there's no grumbling or complaining. There needs to be open communication and open love between one another, because that's the way that God has designed marriage to be. I heard a preacher once say that the most important step in developing inner peace is to stop complaining and start praising. Praising God, praising each other. We can always find something to be negative about. Let's look for the positives. Let's make a personal choice to rejoice. it may be difficult to be thankful at certain times. But as Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It is a personal choice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, said, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and for me in Jesus Christ. That's His will for us. That's what He wants us to do. I don't know how many of you have heard of Chicken Soup for the Soul, but it's a series of books that are out. It's not just one single book, it's a series. And it contains stories that are written to encourage us. And supposedly they're true stories, real life stories, taken to show us situations and how people overcame things. That, again, reflect the way that situations in life can, with a positive, right attitude, be overcome. So this particular story is about a man named Jerry. Jerry was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. And if someone asked him how he was doing, he'd always say, I'm so good, I should be twins. I'm so good, I should be twins. Jerry was a restaurant manager who everybody loved to work with because he was so positive. And when asked how he could be so positive all the time, he said, it's a matter of choice. I get up in the morning and I have a choice. I can either be in a good mood or I can be a bad mood. And I choose to be in a good mood. And so he is. And people love to work with him because he was always in a good mood. Well, a few years ago, Jerry's restaurant was robbed. The thieves panicked and he was shot. And he recalled, when I was lying on the floor, I remembered I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. And I chose to live. The paramedics were encouraging, but when they wheeled me in the emergency room, I saw the looks on the faces of the doctors and nurses, and I got scared because in their eyes, it looked like they were looking at a dead man. And I had to do something about it. And had a choice. There was a burly nurse there who was yelling questions at me that I had to answer. And finally she asked me the last question, are you allergic to anything? And I said, I stopped for a moment, thought about it, and I said, yes, I am. And I said, yes, I am. The doctors and nurses stopped what they were doing. They wanted to know what I was allergic to. And he said, yes, I'm allergic to bullets. And with that phrase, it changed the entire attitude of the doctors and nurses. They now became more confident because of his optimism, because of his positive attitude. So much of life is determined by choice. It matters how we choose to live. We can either choose to live a life of thankfulness, of gratitude, or we can't. We can either choose to live a life of continual rejoicing in the Lord always, again I say rejoice, or we can't. But the decision in which we are to live is entirely up to us. It's not determined by anyone else. It's not determined by circumstance. It's determined by us. So we need to make a personal choice every day to rejoice. And finally, develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. We need to give thanks every day. They say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. 21 days to develop a habit. So here's what I would suggest that you do. For the next 3 weeks, every day, at the end of the day, reflect on your day and write down just one thing that you're thankful for. One thing that transpired during the day that you know is a blessing from God and you're thankful for it. Start today. For the next 3 weeks, write it down. Write it down on one piece of paper. Just one simple line each day is all it takes to get our minds and our hearts thinking about things as we reflect on our day that we're really thankful for. It sounds simple enough, but at the end of these 21 days, it's now becoming and has become a habit. So now we don't have to think about it. It becomes automatic. And that's what a habit is. In Daniel chapter 6, we see that Daniel got down on his knee 3 times a day and prayed. And he gave thanks to God. We need to develop that same discipline of giving thanks. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you all that the Lord has done. David's about to come up and lead us in an invitation song. There's a story told about two old friends who met on the street. One of them looked like he was almost in tears, and so his friend said to him, why are you so sad? He said, well, 3 weeks ago I had an uncle died, and he left me $40,000. And his friend said, well, I'm really sorry to hear about your uncle, but that $40,000, that's a lot of money. That was a blessing. And he said, yeah, but 2 weeks ago, I had a cousin that I barely knew, and he died, and he left me $85,000. And the friend said, $85,000? That's a real blessing. And the man said, well, you don't understand. Last week, I had another relative that died and left me almost $250,000. And his friend said, that's incredible. I don't understand. If all this happened, why are you so sad? And the man said, because so far this week I've got nothing. Let's not be that guy. Let's not be that guy. Let's remember every day, every moment to look back on our lives and see how truly blessed we are. And to be thankful for so many things that God has given us. But most importantly, hope. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. Amen. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you. And it will amaze you. All that the Lord has done for you. If you're here this morning, we can help you in any way with your life, either through prayer or hugs or anything else. We want to do that. If you've not yet become a child of God and been baptized with Christ, we know what the Bible says. God is very clear in what He wants us to do, to be able to live the abundant life that He's given us here on earth, but even more than that, to live the eternal life that He's got awaiting for each and every one of us. Each and every one of His children with Him in heaven. So if we can help you in any way this morning, we ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.